Welcome to our podcast. This is another recorded episode of Stay Classy San Diego at KCBQ with video production provided by MaxLux Media with your host, myself, Steve Wire. This podcast is dedicated to keeping you informed and engaged with the latest news and trending events in the San Diego region. Join us on a weekly exploration as we sit down with prominent political figures, insightful analysts, industry professionals.
Well, this is somebody who I grew up watching on TV. This is a guest we're really excited to have, and is a man who needs little introduction, even though I'm going to introduce him anyways. Sean Merriman, a.k.a. Lights Out, former linebacker for the Chargers. He was an all-pro, NFL defensive rookie of the year, made three Pro Bowls, two all-pro selections, actually, and recorded 39.5 quarterback sacks in his first three seasons. Sean played for the Chargers and the Bills, and he's also founded the Lights Out Extreme Fighting MMA League in 2019, developed several rising stars in the sport. Sean, thanks so much for coming out of the show. Really excited to have you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, awesome. All right, Sean, well, you don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to get right to it. So I want you to sort of tell people who don't know about Lights Out Extreme Fighting, like how this came about, how the league came about, like what inspired this, how you sort of transitioned from your retirement post-football to starting Lights Out.
Well, you know, first off, man, I started to train myself during 2005 and 2006. I grew up in Prince George's County, Maryland, like that DMV area. And my uncles were professional boxers, and I had championship boxers that were in my neighborhood growing up. So I just naturally grew up boxing. And then, you know, MMA kind of caught fire globally, more mainstream in 2000, you know, the mid-2000s. So I started to train with Randy Couture, Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz. I've been, you know, I was around all these guys. And so every offseason, I just wanted to get better with my hand-eye coordination, better, you know, as using my hands as an outside linebacker and pass rusher. And so I ended up launching Lights Out Extreme Fighting 2019. We're at Fubo Sports, Fubo TV.
Yep.
If you guys don't have Fubo over there, get it. We got a big fight coming up next weekend in Long Beach, California. You can get some tickets at lightsoutxf.com, man. And it's cool because we got these next up-and-coming superstars. Like, so you get a chance to see all these guys before they become big.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's cool because you see these guys become, like, big names in the sport and known that they kind of started with you. So,
sure.
Yeah, the one next week, it's going to be our biggest show we've had.
Morales and Tolliver, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, both of these guys I've trained and sparred with, worked with. Normally, I stay out of the matchmaking, but when I see opportunities like this, when I know guys got bad blood and they want to scrap, I'll push those through a little bit more than everything else. So, yeah, sure. Next weekend's going to be big.
Yeah, so tell us what MMA fans should know about this particular fight and the significance of this particular event for Lights Out.
Yeah, so Albert Morales, he had a short stint in the UFC. You know, he's still a pretty young guy. I think he's 30, 31 years old. Musa Tolliver. You know, he trained down there with Antonio McKee for a while. Grew. That's where I sparred and trained him in Long Beach. These guys are big names in SoCal area, and they're bringing out a lot of people. We got Tommy Aaron on this card as well. We got AJ Hodgkins, actually, who played linebacker for Oregon,
yeah,
for the Ducks back when Herbert played. He was Justin Herbert's teammate.
Okay.
So wow. Yeah, he's taking a second or third amateur fight for us, but that'll be on Fubo as well. So. We're locked and loaded, man. This one, you don't want to miss this one.
Yeah, big card. And so I wanted to also ask you in terms of, because there's sort of this like trend of athletes transitioning from other sports such as the NFL to MMA. You know, you have Le'Veon Bell, Adrian Peterson, Greg Hardy, guys like that, you know, transitioning to MMA. And like, I sort of want to hear your thoughts on that trend in terms of like how you think that's developing. And you see yourself as sort of spearheading that movement of, you know, retired athletes getting involved in MMA.
Yeah, because, you know, I've been around it for 17 years, man. Yeah. I've been around this thing for a long time. So now that there's real opportunity, both money and visibility in MMA, you find a lot of these former athletes making that transition. Look, everybody's not going to have an 8, 10-plus year career. You know, you got some guys that maybe had an injury early, maybe got put in a bad system or the coaching didn't work out or scheme didn't work out and they didn't get another opportunity. So these guys are just walking in, they're ready to go. You know, they're like already disciplined. They want to train and get after it. So I'm just giving them a segue to come over to Lights Out Extreme Fighting. And because we're, you know, our viewership, we're top five, top 10 most watched on Fubo Sports ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, people know when they come fight for Lights Out Extreme Fighting, they're going to get seen.
Yeah. And I know your viewership went up right in August, like 70% from your event in May. So you guys are growing a lot right now.
75%, yeah. Man. Yeah. I mean, that's a... that's a hell of a jump. And I'm a big fan of like listening to the fans and people, man. Like, they'll tell you if you got a good product, they like the fights, the production, the buildup, you know. So with those type of numbers, man, the fans are telling us a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So I also want to talk a little bit about in terms of like how, you know, yeah, obviously I want to talk a little bit about your NFL career here for a second. So since you retired, you know, we've seen a number of rule changes, the NFL, you know, we've seen a lot of things happen. You know, we have more protection for quarterbacks, more protections for receivers. You know, there's a huge emphasis on player protection. We've seen format changes. We've seen the game evolve, you know, sort of the rise of the Michael Vick kind of, you know, player instead of the traditional pocket passer. I want to get your thoughts in terms of what you feel like are some of the biggest ways that the game has changed since your career ended and sort of how you see those changes, like for the better or for the worse, and how the sport's evolving.
Well, I think that, look, I think the NFL did a great job at protecting players, right? Yep. Defensive players.
Yep.
And, you know, taking a crack back block out, because I remember we used to play the Steelers, Hein Ward would just take people's heads off.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And knock people out, break jaws and everything else. You know, the cut blocks from somebody coming lateral down the line of scrimmage and, you know, different sets of chop blocks. So I think, you know, helmet to helmet contact for sure. So I think the NFL did a great job at that part of it. I just, for me, man, it's like, it's still football. And the reason why football is so loved in this country is because of the physicality of it. People love, you know, these guys going out and these big explosive hits and plays and emotion and passion. You know, it was one point in time I thought they were doing way too much on the taunting rule. You know, yeah, like guys getting up and just excited. And I'm like, dude, have you ever ran somebody over in your life? Have you ever like hit somebody hard or caught a pass on somebody after like a cornerback has been talking trash to you the whole game and you finally get one on them? Like, you can't, you can't hold that back. That's what makes the game the way it is. So on that standpoint, man, and I think the game is great, but I also have like, okay, let's stay away from taking the love and the passion out of it, because that's why we all love football in the first place.
Yeah, it's a game of emotion. It's a game of passion. And like, that's what makes it worth watching. And I wanted to also ask you in terms of, we're seeing a lot of players now, at least anecdotally, I've noticed more players than ever before retiring early because of, you know, citing health concerns, concussion risk, that kind of thing. You know, CTE. Do you believe that this is like, kind of a worrying trend for the NFL? You think it's problematic long term for the league, or how do you see the game sort of evolving to not let that happen?
Well, you know, obviously the CTN stuff is there. The science says it's there, and people are gonna play football forever, man. Yeah. I think that's just, it's just not going away. I think that the rule changes and some of the stuff they did is to prevent and help out a lot of guys. But I think the retirement, early retirement, comes from guys. Players just making more money now, right? So you don't have to play 15 years anymore to get the money that you're looking for, or sure, create the future you're looking for. Like, you've got some of these guys making 10 plus million off the bench a year. And so you look at it that way, like, what's the need of going to try to play 15 years or a long period of time if you're taking care of your family, you're securing your future in 8, right? Like, or 9. So a lot of these guys looking at it now, like, hey, look, I'm set. You know, my family's taken care of. My future's set. My kids' kids are taken care of. Like, I don't have to do this anymore. But I tell guys when I talk to them, play the game as long as you can play.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, until somebody walk up to you and say, hey, you're done, and take your playbook and kick you out of the facility, play as long as you can play, man, because you want to exhaust every part of football you possibly can, because when you're done, you're done. There's no going back, or, you know, it's no going to try out again. Yeah. There's no league that's around you can go get back in. Like, once you're done, you're done.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as Brady used to say, you know, he used to say, I'll play until I suck, and he did. But it's also, I can understand the mindset where you have players who, like, you know, they get their bag, they want to dip, you know, like, you know, they're set up for life, and why continue to put your body on the line? So, I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense, certainly. But do you think that just like the game as a whole, like you talked about some of the rule changes and sort of, you know, the efforts to take maybe some of the emotion out of the game and how that's negative. But do you sort of see like long term sort of the pendulum swinging the other way, like sort of we get back to the more fundamental physical football that you played?
Well, no, because the reason why a lot of us played the game the way we played, especially me, like, yeah, you get taught to play football a certain way as a kid.
Yeah.
Right. And so whether that's using your helmet or tackling improperly or doing whatever that is, you're learning that from a kid. And so now with the heads up football and the lot that the NFL is doing, these kids are learning how to tackle properly as a kid. So by the time they get in high school and college and so forth, like the mentality has switched.
Sure.
Right. When I played, I wanted to get a guy on the ground by any means necessary. Like whatever I got to do to get you on the ground, I'm doing that. And whatever the consequences are for that, I'm taking it. Now, just like you see some guys going in for a sack or whatever and let up, right? Quarterback can still throw the football down the field because they don't want to get fined. They don't want to get a flag.
Yeah.
And so they're being taught that now at a younger age. So it's going to be hard to kind of go back with that same old school mentality.
Sure.
Hey, Stay Classy listeners and book lovers, mark your calendars. On October 21st at 6:30 p.m., journey through time and emotion with Molly Wire's latest masterpiece, Californian. Unveil the secrets of 1920s Pasadena, mid-century La Jolla, and the soulful 70s Central Coast. Engage in lively discussion, meet the author, and celebrate the power of storytelling at Bird Rock Coffee Roasters in La Jolla. Don't miss this unique literary experience.
What are your thoughts on this particular season? I mean, and let's talk about the Chargers for a second, since you know, we are in San Diego, and this current Chargers team, you know, led by Justin Herbert, led by Brandon Staley, like there's been a lot of hype, and some of it justifiably so, in the last couple of years. You know, last year was the playoffs, the early exit after the loss to the Jaguars, I believe. But like, what do you think as far as the current direction of the Chargers and the direction they're headed now, and like sort of making their way towards being a championship contender? Like, what are your thoughts on this team?
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, just coming into the season, the expectations were through the roof, right?
Yeah.
Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, who just, you know, went down with that knee injury, Everett, Eckler, Rashawn Slater's back. And I'm, you know, that defense is just also loaded. So the expectations walking into this season is like, these guys win the Super Bowl or nothing. And that's the mentality that they have because of the team that they have. Well, you know, I was at the Miami game, and you would think like, okay, they put up 34 points. Anytime your offense put up 30 plus points a game, you automatically assume you got a pretty good shot. You just keep them under 30 points, you can win.
Yeah.
And so everybody's making a big deal, and Tua came and lit us up. Well, it didn't seem that bad when he put, you know, 70 on the Broncos, you know, so, you know, they play the most explosive offense in football right now. Their first game of the year. While they're still trying to figure things out. So, you know, I don't like to put too much on it early on during the season. Like people, you know, the Cowboys go out, win a big game against the Giants, right? 40-0. All of a sudden, hey, we're going to the Super Bowl. Like I don't have that mentality. I'm like, we know that the teams and the players are not going to really start clicking until about game five or six. Yeah. It takes a little bit. Now, game five, game six, you'll kind of start to weed out who's the good teams, who's the bad teams, who's real, who's not. But it's going to take some time to get there. Right now, it's just, you know, they're explosive. You know, Justin has not turned – Herbert has not turned the ball over. He's threw for over 400 yards. That's
incredible.
That's an incredible stat. You know, he threw for 400-plus yards, no interceptions up until this point. Like, it's incredible. So you got to keep the high hopes for this team, man. Like, they have too many good players – too explosive not to have good things happen.
Yeah. Any predictions from you in terms of who you think comes out on top in the AFC this year?
I still think the Chargers, man. I'm not, you know, one thing about Tua, and they're playing great right now in Miami. Yeah. I seen it firsthand. I mean, those guys over there are flying right now. If I was looking as a former defensive player, I'm like, what do? They're throwing the ball quick. When they're not throwing the ball quick, Tyreek Hill's wide open. He's taking short passes for long. I mean, it was something to really see. Tua, we don't know if he's going to be healthy the whole year. We all knew he could play. So as great as Miami is, right, as great as the Bills are, the greatest Kansas City are, I think the Chargers will, if not beat the Chiefs twice, I think they'll split games. I think they beat the Raiders twice. I think they beat Denver twice. They can win a division. The whole thing with them is just really getting into the playoffs. Right. Just get to the playoffs, win a division, get into the playoffs, because that's where their real shot's going to kick in. They will be. They get to the playoffs. they will be the most explosive team there.
Yeah, in January, anything can happen. You know, that teams can go on a run, as we've seen in the past, even from a six seed. You know, it's happened a couple of times. So I wanted to talk about your career a bit. And I mean, you've done probably hundreds, if not thousands, of interviews. But, like, overall, looking back on your career, you know, you retired in 2012, but sort of just for people who maybe haven't followed your career as closely, like, talk about some of maybe your favorite career moments, some of your favorite stories, accomplishments. Like, I mean, we talked about the All-Pro stuff, the Pro Bowls, but maybe there's, like, a particular season or a game that stood out to you that that you can tell us about.
Well, you know, the most fond memory I have is, first of all, just coming into the locker room, right? You got LT just staring in your face, Antonio Gates, Phillip Rivers, Lorenzo Neal, you know, Nick Harwick and all these guys, Jamal Williams, Keenan McCardell was there, Donnie, like Randall Godfrey. So you don't really notice how good you had it when you walk in. Like, man, I walked into some great vets, man, like some great vets. And all these guys had winning mentalities. They were helping the young guys out. Like, sometimes you can go and get drafted by a bad organization, bad locker room, man. And,
yeah,
you know, teams that are just used to losing, and everybody got like a loser's mentality in there. Like, we lose, so what? Where are we going on vacation on the off season, right? Yeah. Like, you walk into those locker rooms. I didn't. Like, the players, we ran the locker room. We ran practices. And when guys wasn't doing what they're supposed to do, Lorenzo Neal's going to say something to you. LaDainian Thomas is going to say something to you. Phillip, Antonio, like Jamal Williams, all those guys, they want to say something to you. So I was brought up, but I say the 06 season, sure, man, my whole career was fun. Even when I went over to the Bills, I had a great, fun career outside of the injuries and whatnot. Yeah. But for the most part, man, I had that 06 season, and I was saying, and people look at me crazy, I think we're the best team of the decade. And
a
people
lot
talk
of talent.
About,
yeah,
you know, and people talk about 07 Patriots, but man, to be honest, or 08, whatever year it was, yeah, when they had a really good team, we were so dominant, man. Like, every position we were stacked, and I would say sometimes practice was harder than the games. Right. Like, you don't feel like to go and chase Antonio Gates around, you know, have to pass rush against a Marcus McNeil or, you know, whoever was like, it was pretty crazy. And you don't look back on how dominant you were or what the possibility was until you step away from the game a little bit. Like, when you're in it, you're like, all right, cool, let's go win some games, let's go have some fun and all this stuff. And then you step away from it, you're like, damn, you know, we were loaded, dude. Like, I played with four Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
You know? And so that part of it was really cool for me.
Yeah. Do you think Phillip Rivers is a future Hall of Famer?
Personally. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and what's crazy is I get it. We put so much emphasis on winning a championship, right? Sure. So you have Tom Brady there that's won all those rings, and the Joe Montana and, you know, Elway and some of these Peyton Manning, some of these guys that won multiple rings. You're going to put them on a pedestal for what? This is a team game.
Yeah.
It's a team game. And anybody want to argue me about Phillip, I'm like, pull up his stats. You know, pull up his stats. Let's put numbers in numbers. Like, forget what you feel about him or how you look at him or what you perceive the team success to be. Put numbers on numbers. And Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. Now, I can maybe have the argument that he's not a first ballot, if you want to say that, right? If somebody wanted to say, hey, he may not get in the first time around.
Okay.
I may be able to have that conversation. I still think he should be, but I can have that. I can be okay with that. To say he's not a Hall of Famer, you just don't know football.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is yeah, it's a team sport. And I think it's like, I mean, obviously Brady has the talent, the stats to back it up as well. But I mean, rings are rings. I mean, there's quarterbacks who've won rings when they're sort of riding championship defenses. You know, I'm thinking about the 2000 Ravens or, you know, teams like that where, you know, the quarterback was not the reason why they necessarily won the Super Bowl, but it was more the defense or other situations, other players. But I wanted to also ask you, like, in terms of, like, looking back over your career, like, sort of, like, favorite game in particular, game that stood out to you, like, anything like that, like, maybe it was a sack, a hit, like, a particular situation with another team. Like, what stands out to you when you look back on your career?
Well, I would say the first game of the year in 2006, the opening Monday Night Football against the Raiders. And, you know, it was one of those games where I think I had three or four sacks and I didn't play the fourth quarter. And I remember going to Wade Phillips and I'm begging him to let me stay in the game so I can break Derek Thomas's record. Yeah. And I'm saying this to Wade Phillips in the game. I said, man, I got a chance to break Derek Thomas's record and I'm trying to stay in. And they took me out. But, you know, it's Monday Night Football. Everybody's watching, yeah. Right? First game of the year, you know, only show in town. Like, everybody's home, and you have one of the biggest games of your career, so everybody's watching. So, you know, those type of things people remember, right? See, yeah. You sit back, and people see stats. They might see a big hit or something, or some things I did in my career. But when you're on Monday Night Football, and everybody's watching, you have yourself a 3-, 4-, 5-sack game or whatever it is, people are looking like, damn, you know?
Yeah.
So those are some of the times I remember most.
Yeah, absolutely. In closing, I just want to talk to you a little bit about going back to the promotion Lights Out. So for people again who don't follow it as well, like sort of Lights Out. I mean, you talked sort of a bit about how you started it, sort of how you got into it, sort of the inspiration of transitioning athletes from other sports. But like, how do you see this moving forward? Like, what is like sort of the end goal, the dream? Like, how does this like play out for you going forward?
Well, you know, we got some great up and coming fighters, and so what I started to look at is we got so much stuff coming. We have tech coming. We'll be an incubator for some of these tech companies and things like that. Like these other verticals is coming now with. Yeah. Fan engagement tech. I mean, this thing is about in the next 90 to 120 days, we're going to be announcing some very big things. And it's just really to be more engaging with the fans, man. That's something that's always been extremely important for me. Even my career when I played, man, I just always spent a lot of time with the fans because they're the ones that go and buy your damn tickets, right? Like yeah. They're the ones watching on TV. And so you want to give them more. You want to be able to get them closer to the action of what you're doing. So I'm constantly looking for different opportunities to give the fans more, whether it's data, whether it's more, you know, different camera angles, some cool shots, something at home. If you watch in the text feature to get free product during the fight, like just really cool stuff to get the fans involved. So we there's some other great promotions out there. We know that UFC obviously is the big dog in this business. And we just want to be mentioned up there, one of the best ones. And we're on the way to doing that right now.
Yeah. How do you guys like recruit fighters, by the way? Like how do you attract talent? Like what's the mechanism for that?
Believe it or not, man, you would think it's a bunch of chicks in my direct message, but it's fighters, right? Like
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, it's fighters that's hit me up, like, hey, you know, we know you guys got a card coming up. And everybody's from all over the country are trying to come in and get on the car because they know that we have the next up and coming guys and everybody's looking at what we're doing.
Sure.
And so by coming over, having a fight with us, like it's going to do something in their career. It's ultimately going to get these fighters where they're trying to go in their career.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody other like any big names that you're sort of working on developing right now? Anybody else we should know about that's like in the queue?
I'm waiting on you know, a couple guys from the XFL to see if they're going to go back. One guy was about to sign from the XFL. It got called up to the NFL. So I said, look, dude, hey, you got a shot at the NFL? Go. Like, this, we will be here whenever you're done. So, and sure. He was still young.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just more and more guys, man. Like, this sport is growing. We're shown in Canada, France, and Spain. Like, wow. So after a fight that we have, man, I'll have like people follow me from France, right? And yeah. They don't watch football over there. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm getting people following me from France. I know it's because of the fight, the MMA. So sure. We with this type of growth, man, who knows? I mean, we're making these leaps and jumps, and we want to just continue putting on the best fights, the best production, and getting fans more information, man. I think that's our biggest thing.
Yeah. One more time for people who aren't necessarily following Lights Out yet, like next week's event, Morales and Tolliver, and reminding who else is fighting, but sort of like, yeah, how can people watch it? How can people get tickets or whatever? Like, tell us a little bit about the event.
Yep, next Saturday, October 7th, we'll be in Long Beach, California. You can go to lightsoutxf.com, and we have these next up-and-coming superstars. One of Tony Ferguson's guys, who's Tommy Aaron.
Okay.
So Tony will probably be. Tony comes to our fights. They got a bunch of fighters awesome. That come from their gym. So it's cool, man. We have, you know, Luke Rockhold will probably be stopping through, and we got some pretty big name and guys that come through and support. And we're growing, man. So, you know, if you can't make it, watch us on Fubo TV, Fubo Sports, but get your tickets at LightsOutXF.com. And if you're in the SoCal area, San Diego, wherever you are, come on up and get your tickets. But we're definitely going to sell this one out.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Sean, I know you don't have a ton of time, so I'm going to sort of start to wrap it up here. But I just had one more question, which is, you know, the fighting, like, you know, I know you're still involved in, you know, giving interviews, you know, doing promotions, but anything else fun that you got going on in your life? Like anything you sort of want to leave a personal note, sort of just like, you know, I'm also doing this, or anything else you want to promote while you're here?
Life insurance, man. I'm looking for agents. I have a life insurance agency. Yeah. People can check us out at lightsoutagency.com if you're looking for a stay at home gig and, you know, protect some families and make some money, man. It's a growing business. Yeah. And, you know, I work with 248 agents in the country.
Wow.
So anybody looking for a part-time gig, full-time gig, hit me up. We do a great job at protecting a lot of these families out here with all kinds of life insurance, different levels. But lightsoutagency.com for anybody who wants to check that out.
I don't know how you have time to do all that you do. It's honestly amazing.
But, me neither.
Yeah. But yeah, you're a disciplined guy, so you figure it out. But yeah. Anyway, Sean, I know we got to wrap it up there, but thanks so much for coming onto the show today. We really appreciate you. I mean, as I said, you know, grew up watching you play, always been a big fan. Super honored to have you on the show. So thanks so much.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. All right.
You got it. All right.
That's a wrap.
This has been another recorded episode of Stay Classy San Diego with your host, Steve Wire. Thanks again to our sponsor, Max Lux Media at maxluxmedia.com. Check us out at stayclassypod.com or any of our social media outlets. We're on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and everywhere else you get your podcast content. Please like and subscribe to our channel. It really helps us continue bringing you important content that you're not going to see anywhere else. And thanks to all of our listeners for tuning into the show. See you next time. Stay classy, San Diego.